As I was walking up the stair, I saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd stay away. Saturday, 31st of August, 2007. Ruben Ed Show, 227. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Ruben Shade. Always a pleasure to have your company, etc. so forth, and all the formalities. Coming to you, of course, from sunny Singapore. And, wow. I think this microphone's a little bit loud. Hold on, I'm going to just fiddle around with this. I've got a new microphone. It's the... Hold on. What's the... It's the Rode NT3. It's actually supposed to be an ambient microphone, so it means that you can... have it to the side of the computer instead of right in front of you, and then that way I can be sitting here typing and doing what I normally do on computers, which you may or may not want to know about, and that way I don't have to actually talk right in front of the microphone. I'm not sure how well it's working out though. I guess this is sort of a test episode, right? Because the old microphone's a Shure PG48, and I've been using that since day one, and I got this one this morning. Just to try it out, to see whether or not having a microphone away from me when I record will prevent me from popping my peas and that sort of stuff. Because I used to work for a Discovery Channel when I was a kid, and I remember they had the most complicated microphone setups with all the guards in front of the microphone and all that, and I don't have the resources or time or inclination or energy to be able to do that. So I'm going to try out this ambient microphone. Ambient's not the right word. I don't know exactly what it's called. But it can detect sounds from a much greater distance, so I'm not sure whether the quality of my voice will suffer, or whether my voice is actually any good to start off with anyway. What's that saying? Garbage in, garbage out. So I'm going to give it a shot, and this way, my head is actually nowhere near the microphone right now. I'm actually sitting right... How many times did I say actually in that sentence? I've got myself sitting, right in front of the computer. My hands are on the keyboard. I've got my other hand on my... Yes, I have three hands. Hands on the keyboard. I've got another hand on my Mighty Mouse, all ready to go. And so I can type stuff. I can view websites. It's going to be fantastic. So if I play this episode back and the quality is dreadful, I'll keep this microphone for... interviews and that sort of thing, and I'll keep using the Shure one. The Shure one's looking pretty buggered up, actually. Damn, look at that. There's a bit of rust on the bottom of it. I've been using this for, because I started doing pilots for the Ruben Ed Show back in 2004 and started recording them in 2005. If you listen to it for any period of time, you know about that, right? So it's been through a lot, and it's survived. We moved from, Adelaide. Moved from Singapore house to another house in Singapore, and then from a house in Singapore to KL, and then I went down to Adelaide for a year and a half, then went back up to KL, and then went from KL to Singapore. And during that time, when I lived in Adelaide, I lived in five different houses, and so it's this thing has really been through a lot, right? It's been brilliant, but I thought I'd give this one a shot. So if the quality is bad, I apologize. I'll just consider this sort of a trial run. The other difference is I've actually got some decent headphones, right? These are... And let me just take them off my head for a sec. These are the Sennheiser HD480s. I can hear myself again. I took the headphones off to see. And these headphones are very, very old. I think my father got these back in 1991, maybe something like that. Since then, he's moved on to these really fancy schmancy new wireless ones. Ooh, look at me, I'm so stylish watching my MotoGP with headphones, because we got this gorgeous new plasma screen, and of course can't use it because it causes too much noise, because my mum's sick all the time because of her cancer, and so we can't have... we need headphones, right? So these headphones here have been in the family for a very long time, 1991, so they're almost as old as me. I was 86, that's terrible. I was an 80s kid. Awesome stuff. I have the shirt with Pac-Man on it saying product of the 80s. That's sweet. But yeah, I'm getting off topic again. So this episode, is going to be about a whole lot of random stuff, as I hope it usually is. But one thing that's not going to be random, this I'm going to be calling the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac episode, right? Because for this, I'm going to be randomly opening a page in the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac. I'm going to open a random page at various points in the show and read whatever it has to say on it, right? So, I mean, this is sort of a real, maybe even a collector's item, I'm not sure. But if you listen to This Week in Tech, any of those sort of things, you know about Leo Laporte's history with Tech TV. We've had cable in Singapore since 1997, and Tech TV was never an option. I think they had it in Australia, but we didn't live there. So I don't remember anything about it. I've only seen clips of it on YouTube, right? But apparently they got bought out by G4 in America, but not in Canada, or blah, blah, blah. I don't know all the details. But suffice to say, Tech TV is no more, and all the people are off doing their own thing on the internet now, which for us is a lot better. Us that don't live in the US, because that means I can download This Week in Tech, or download Cranky Geeks, or download Kevin Rose, or whatever the hell, and if I really wanted to do that sort of stuff, right? So, in this particular case, I've got the 2003 Leo Laporte's Technology Almanac. It's got the Tech TV logo on the side, and the 2003 color wall calendar. I never noticed that before. Oh, there we go. Well, that's just hopelessly outdated, isn't it? Oh, there we go. He's dressed up like a Irishman in March. That's very good. Uranus was discovered in 1781 on the 13th of March. There you go. So 13 is entirely an unlucky number. Although they did give it a very unfortunate name, didn't they? Uranus. So maybe that explains it. Uranus was discovered on the 13th. That didn't sound good at all. Also, yes, I must apologize. My sister is not with us. As much as you enjoyed her company and as much as you loved her making flatulence noises into the microphone towards the last episode when she got bored as hell with it. Yes, you remember that? And she was playing The Sims all the way through it. She's off in Malaysia now visiting her boyfriend. Yes, apparently her boyfriend is more important to her than the listeners of a podcast that she's appeared on 3 times. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty sad stuff. But, yes, let's just flip open a random page here on Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. Here we go. I'm randomly opening a page. Bang. Today's focus, photo editing, Monday, March the 3rd, 2003. Let's have a look. It says, Adobe Photoshop 7 brings to the table all the power and tools found in previous generations of the application and goes forward from there. Several new tools are designed to take the pain out of daily tasks. Many others promise to give you a creative edge. And it has a tip of the day. It says, if you're a student or a teacher, you can get Photoshop and many other programs at a substantial academic discount. Check with your campus store, such as academicssuperstore.com. Also sell software at academic pricing if you have the proper documentation. Well, okay, there you go. Adobe Photoshop 7. What are we up to now? Adobe CS3, which would be... what would that be? That's version 10 or 11, isn't it? Wow. We've come a long way. 2003 seems like a long time ago. Okay, so yes. On that day, Adobe Photoshop on the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac. It's very, what the hell was that? Oh, dear. This table is such a mess. I've actually got how many days worth of... God damn it, there's stuff just falling off everywhere. This is terrible. I need to clean off this desk. That's insane. Random quotes from Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. So, I was talking about my sister just before. We'll get on to some interesting stuff in a sec. get on to some interesting stuff first. This morning I went off with my sister. Actually, it was yesterday morning, I apologise. To the bus stop to let my sister go to KL. Of course, KL is in Malaysia, and they're celebrating their 50th Merdeka celebrations, their 50th year of independence from the old Brits. How many people did the British have control around here? Because it was originally the Dutch were in Malaysia, and then the British came along, and they were in Singapore, and you know, they've been all over the place. So... I guess maybe I wouldn't have as many listeners now if the British hadn't done that, because not as many people would be speaking English, would they? I guess you could argue the Americans have done more these days, but I'm getting off topic again. So, yes, we were I took a cab to get to take my sister down to this bus terminal, right? And essentially what happens is, you can get buses from Singapore to Malaysia, and they're relatively cheap. You know, I think it's 60 Singapore dollars one way. I could have that wrong. Don't quote me on that. How many times have I said that in the last few days? That's terrible. And what happens is you get on the bus and you drive across the little causeway or the little bridge. There are two ways to get off the island of Singapore, right? You can either go north and you go across the causeway onto Malaysia, or you can go on Tuas, the second link, which takes you around a sort of an arc to get to Johor, and then you go up north from there, right? And coincidentally, Johor, I'm not sure if this is true, this is what the Malaysian Tourist Board claims, Johor is the most southern point on the Asian mainland, right? So the whole Eurasian continent that reaches all the way from France and Spain and Denmark and all the way through Russia, through China, everything, and all ends at the most southern point on Johor, right? So, and then you cross the causeway over to Singapore. I remember, in fact, there was a time when I went to high school in Singapore when I was at the AIS, and they had this one group of people in these really crappy old-looking Jeeps, you know, these two-door Jeeps, and they had started in Inverness, I think it was, in Scotland, where my relatives are from, actually, originally, and they went from there all the way through down to London, through the Channel, across France and Poland and Germany, all those sort of places, ended up driving all the way from Inverness down to Singapore, right? So, and I don't know how many months that took them. In fact, it could have even been more than a year or so because of the engine breakdowns and food and fuel and all those other sort of frivolous things that you... frivolous, I like that. So I'm getting off topic again, aren't I? So essentially, to get from Singapore to Kuala Lumpur, which is the capital of Malaysia, it's very, very close. I mean, if you live in Singapore or you live in Malaysia, it seems like a long way, I guess. But for someone like me, who was born and raised for a few years, some point, I remember, in Australia, where driving from Melbourne to Brisbane, that's a long trip, right? It's from KL to Singapore, very, very short. And the buses are very nice, right? There are many different classes of buses you can take. But I think it's called the Aeroline, I think. It's the sort of the business class one. So it's not the ones where they serve you things on gold platters, but it's not the one where you're sitting on the roof, so to speak. So it's halfway between. It's quite nice. They got power points under the seats, that sort of thing. And it makes so much more sense to go on a bus than it does on an aeroplane, right? Because with all the security checks and things these days, if you want to fly from Singapore to Kuala Lumpur, first of all, you have to get to Changi Airport. Now, and in Singapore, that's not too bad, because Singapore's such a tiny place anyway. So you can get from the city to Changi Airport in about 45 minutes or so on the MRT, on the subway. It's over part of it, but mostly under in the city, and then you go down the train to the airport. And then, of course, you have to be there 45 minutes before departure, because it's an international flight. Yeah, like you can take a domestic flight in Singapore. You fly anywhere in Singapore in 10 seconds and you're out of their territory. Of course it's going to be. So it's a 45-minute for international flights, right? And so you're flying from Singapore, you fly up to KL. The flight's about 18 minutes to get from KL to Singapore. And you arrive in KL, and the new airport in KL is Sepang, right? Is in the middle of nowhere, literally. I'm not sure if it's close to 100 kilometers away from the middle from the inner of KL. It is a long way away. So I remember seeing a picture of this, a map of it. If you look at a map of Selangor, which is you leave all the politics aside, it's its own little state thing. But essentially, KL is in Selangor, which is the sort of the little kingdom protectorate thing in Malaysia. And KL's right down in the middle of it, and the airport is right on the border down south. It is a long way, right? So by the time you get off the plane in KL and go through customs and immigration, important difference, and getting your bags and waiting at the carousel and then getting out and then getting out of the terminal, getting into a cab, driving all the way into the city, it takes a lot longer than 19 minutes, right? The little flies in the middle's the least of your worries. So, but by taking a bus, it takes maybe an extra hour, three quarters of an hour, but you're just sitting there, right? You don't have to worry about any of that crap. All the bags are down the bottom. It's so much easier. In actual fact, I actually do prefer flying to aeroplanes, but in this particular case, it's just not worth the trouble, right? So took my sister yesterday morning to the bus stop in Singapore so she can go off to KL to see her boyfriend, right? And of course, because it's the 50th anniversary of British independence in Malaysia right now, so they're all crazy. I'm really surprised she was actually able to get a seat. I'm sure it was booked. Anyway, so yeah, a little... I was actually going somewhere with that story, but I completely forgot. It'll come to me. Let's have another look at Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. Here we go. I'm randomly flipping a page. Bang. Computer hardware and software. This is in the appendix. Well, I didn't mean to go this far. It says, total number of PCs in use worldwide. All right, it's 1995, 229 million. Year 2000, 530 million. Ooh. 2001, 603. Well, it's actually slowed down a bit. 2007, here we go. This is 2007. In 2003, this is what they predicted. How many computers would be used by now? 1,150,000,000 computers worldwide. That's huge. And let's take a look at total number of PCs in use by any country in the end of 2001. So these are all hopelessly outdated. Netherlands is on 8.2 million. Taiwan, 8.9 million. Australia, 11.4 million. South Korea, 18.2. Let's go a bit further down. United Kingdom, 29.3 million computers in use, 2001. Japan, 54.7. Woo! And, of course, number one by almost, I'd say, triple, United States, 182.2 million computers. That is a lot of machines eating up power. I'm sure that's why we have all this global warming crap going on. What else? Percentage of Europeans who do not use a computer, 53.3%. So I imagine now there are probably more Europeans on computers than off now. That's crazy. Anyway, Appendix A, page 404 of Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. I'm glad I just... crazy. It's driving me insane why I was talking about that bus. There must have been a reason why I was talking about that. One of my problems is I've got notes in front of me now, and I'm sure that was a lead into one of these things, but I have no idea which one it is. That's insane. I'll probably finish the show and then play it back and think, God damn it, Riven, you're an idiot. I want to do a bit of a review. I've had this for a while now, and I've been holding this off for ages, right? I wanted to do a review of a mobile phone, right? It's the Nokia E61i. I've had it for about a month now, and it is awesome, right? I've had this for about a month. I've been using it almost non-stop. In fact, it's never been turned off since the time I first got it, or since I charged. You know, they always say you should charge it overnight, the first night, so forth. I'm not sure. Do you still have to do that with phones? I used to have my first mobile phone was a clunky little Nortel thing with a giant antenna that had the, when they said SIM card, it literally was a credit card sized thing you stuck in the back, a huge battery pack stuck on it. It was about maybe 3 centimeters thick. It was huge, right? I'm not talking about those ones in the 80s that were, you wouldn't even be able to fit in your pocket. This one, you could almost do it if you had a really thick belt on, but you know what I mean. And they always said then that you're supposed to charge it for overnight first before you use it, right? So, I'm not sure whether that's still the case. I ended up doing it with this anyway because I couldn't be bothered RTFA-ing, right? So, RTFM-ing, reading the fucking manual. That they always sound slash dot. Anyway, I'll read you the description on the... this is Wikipedia, right? And if it's on Wikipedia, therefore it has to be true. The Nokia E61i is a smartphone from the E-series range, an S60 platform, Symbian platform, with a QWERTY keyboard targeting business users in the European market. And I'm not a business user and I'm in Asia. That's brilliant. It's an update to the Nokia E61 released in 2006. The product was announced on February 2007 and is now commercially available. So it is a very... tasty box, excuse me. It is a really nice phone, right? even though I'm 21 now, I just completely missed the whole SMS craze thing. I really could not be bothered punching out long, complicated things on a numeric keypad. With all the amount of computers I use, I have enough problems with cramps in my thumbs and wrist and fingers as it is without me having to do that, right? So for as long as possible, I've tried to get phones with QWERTY keyboards, and I think the first one I got the actually, do I have it here? I think I might have it here. Hold on a sec. Son of a bitch. Okay. This was my first one, right? It's this giant plastic thing, or maybe I'll take a picture of it. It's the Tungsten W, the Palm, right? And does it have a copyright year on it? Approved by IDA for use in Singapore. Hazardous. Do not use in hazardous locations. Well, what's a hazardous location? 2002. Right, okay, so this is the Tungsten I710W PDA, right? Had a bit of an untimely demise. It vibrated itself off the table, ironically enough, just like my BlackBerry did. So I've had two phones vibrate themselves off the table and have the screen destroyed. That's nasty. I from now on, I never leave my phone more than about, say, 30 or 40 meters from the edge of any table, right? I have a table the size of Texas in my room, and the phone is just in the middle of it. There is no way this phone is going to vibrate itself off the table, and I probably jinxed myself saying that. So I've had QWERTY keyboard phones for as long as possible, right? I'm not sure about you, but I honestly could not be arsed typing out SMSs on a numeric keypad. I never got on that bandwagon. So my first one was this Tungsten W thing. Then I got a BlackBerry 70 something or other. It was a second-hand one I got at Sim Lim Square. We didn't need to know about that. But this latest one, I got it as a special sort of student thing from Singtel, right? Singapore Telecom. They're pretty good. And it's a 3G phone, so the speed is really good. It's not 3.5G, but it's 3G. So if I'm sitting, because I spend so much of my life sitting in the waiting room at the hospital for my mum in the cancer ward, the oncology department, right? So often I can just sit there, whip out my phone, and it's 3G, so the internet is really, really fast. It's very nice. I wouldn't say it's broadband speed, but for a phone, if you go to the mobile websites, it's just bang. It loads instantly. It's beautiful. And of course, the website which I spend way too much time on, m.twitter.com, I spend way too much time on that thing. Is there a way to sort of block websites from your own phone, or have it so that you're only allowed to... I don't know, maybe only visit it 300 times a day or something. It is getting insane, and I'll be talking about that in a sec. But, so you can browse the internet on it. And you know the previews for the iPhone, so that you can... It looks like you can see the whole page, and then you zoom into specific sections. Obviously, this isn't as fancy as that. But what I really like is if you're in a very large page and you have to scroll left and right... If you start scrolling left and right, if you scroll for long enough, it actually shows a little thumbnail superimposed sort of transparently in the front, or translucently, I should say, on the front of the screen, as opposed to the back of the screen, right, the technical sort of stuff. So it displays on the front of the screen, and it shows you a live preview of whereabouts you are on the page. So say if I'm scrolling through theovernightscape.com, and I've got the very beautiful picture of Frank's head in the right-hand side here. If I start scrolling downwards towards his... Oh, he's got his Twitter posts here as well. Wow, he's got a lot of them too. And scrolling left and right, I'm not sure if I can... Because it's hard to take screenshots on a phone. I do have it, but I can't take video screenshots, otherwise I'd show this to you. But as you scroll down the page... sort of a full-size, sort of almost like a print preview sort of thing, superimposes itself on the front, and a little box sort of directs and shows you whereabouts on the page you are. So you can sort of visualize whereabouts you are at any one time, because that is the one downside. It's a 320 pixel wide screen, and that still is enough for most pages, so it can get a bit frustrating. But as long as you stick to websites that have the M on the front, or the Mobi, or Mobi, or however the hell you say that, it is lightning fast. And even going to normal pages, if you're willing to do a bit of scrolling left and right, it has a little sort of I don't know what you would call it. It's a little up, down, left, right button, so you press it in different directions depending on where you want to go, right in the middle of it. A bit like the new Blackberries, the Pearl with the thing in the middle that you can move around, almost like a sort of a primitive joystick thing, right? So that moves up and down. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard, and the thing I really like about the QWERTY keyboard on this is the backlight is really nice. I remember the backlight on my old BlackBerry, the entire key would light up, and which didn't really work that well, because if it was in a low light condition, if it was sort of half low light, half not, and the backlight was on, it sort of made the letters on it a bit hard to read. It's sort of a bit fuzzy. And on the Tungsten W here, there's no backlight at all. You just had to shine a little torch on top of it, or cover up the screen with your hand so that you could direct some of the light down. But with this one, it only lights up the letters. So it's really nice. So even in really dark situations, you don't end up lighting up the entire room with it, but you can still see what you're doing. And in fact, the latest thing I've been doing is downloading PDFs onto it and almost using it like a primitive e-reader thing. So at the moment, I'm reading a book about the history of Richard Stallman and the GNU movement, that sort of thing, as a PDF on here. And it does get a bit annoying with all the scrolling, because it is a bit of a low-resolution screen, but it works perfectly fine. It's almost like having a backlit little tiny paperback to read. And I guess if you don't really have good eyesight, maybe it wouldn't be such a good thing, because the text is a bit small. And of course, being Symbian, I've got all of the all of these random programs on here. The Scum VM, which lets me run all my old putt games. I've got I do have the Jaiku client on here, but I haven't used Jaiku in a long time. I don't know why I've still got that on there. And Fring, of course. Fring lets you make free Skype phone calls from your phone. So if you're using the 3G, or if you're at a wireless hotspot, you can make free phone calls, which is very nice. And Google Maps. But probably the ultimate killer feature of this entire phone, and it's not a Nokia thing, is PuTTY, P-U-T-T-Y. It lets you interface with Unix-based computers anywhere in the world, right? So say, for example, I've got my OpenBSD machine at home, so it's essentially like a Linux-type OS thing, on one of my computers at home, connected directly to the router of our computer. So at any time, I can use PuTTY and SSH a little terminal thing open and type in the IP address of our home network, and I can access all of the Unix machines in the house. So I can log on to my MacBook Pro while I'm at a Starbucks somewhere else and tell it to start this new torrent or delete this folder or update your packages and all this stuff. It's so much fun to do that. So PuTTY's great. Maybe if they have a donate page, I have to do that. So anyway, Nokia E61i. Only downside with it is, I found that because I get sweaty hands, it has this sort of metal backing on it. In fact, from the back, it looks a lot like an iPhone, to tell the truth, like a small iPhone. And the back gets a little bit smudgy if you have sweaty hands, which is probably why I wouldn't buy an iPhone if I... Well, maybe I probably would anyway, but I'd have to do something about that. But, the advantage of this back, even though it does get a bit smudgy, is that I've been really abusing this, and it hasn't got a single scratch on it. It's just brilliant. So, Nokia E61i, I don't think it's available in the US because of some patent law thing regarding 3G, but I think it says Europe, so I assume that means UK as well, and most of Asia, and that sort of thing. Full QWERTY keyboard, it's absolutely brilliant. I couldn't recommend it more. It's good stuff. And of course, as I say that, the music just disappears. Are we going to have anything? Well, I'm waiting for it to build up to something. Oh, well, I guess not. Let's take another random page, the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac, opening up to a random page. Here we go. Friday, June 27th, 2003. Setting up a hardware router. This is today's tip of the day. It says, if you have a router, you should check regularly for firmware upgrades to protect yourself against security holes. And here are the sites for the major manufacturers. Linksys, D-Link, those are big URLs. I won't read that out. It says, firmware updates are tricky, though. Read the instructions carefully and follow them exactly. So there you go. The today's focus, computer networking. Friday, June 27th, 2003. I guess if I was really going to be studious, I would actually load the page for today, wouldn't it be? Because this is an almanac, right? How about, what is today's date? It's the 31st of August. Let's see what's on 31st of August. It's November, October, September, August. Here we go. Let's see what's on August 31st. That's not it. That's not it. August 31st. Here we go. Fantasy football. Ugh. Sport. I have absolutely no interest in sport whatsoever. I have a passing interest in MotoGP and Formula One, as in if it's on and I have nothing better to do, I'll watch it. Other than that, sport does not interest me at all. Someone kicking a ball around a field? Yeah, whatever. I guess some people are interested in it, but frankly, sport for me is really boring. But this week before the NFL, and this is NFL, so this is America anyway, which has nothing to do with us here anyway, doesn't it? Fantasy football. Oh, I guess I'll read it out if you're interested. It says, the week before the NFL season starts is known as Draft Week. Fantasy football owners across the country get together at home or online to draft their teams for the upcoming season. And more than 30 million people participate in the fantasy sport. Do they have a website? My favorites are RotoWire, R-O-T-O Wire, I guess that's short for rotation, .com, and the Sporting News. Ironically, it's sportingnews.com. And the tip of the day, which has nothing to do with fantasy football, Win Pop-Up sends messages to other people on your network identified by their login username. The recipient of your message needs to have Win Pop-Up running too. In Windows 95, 98, or Millennium Edition, start, run, and type Win Pop-Up. And there's no Win Pop-Up on Windows XP, so maybe it was a security risk or something. There you go. Okay, fantasy football. If you're interested in that sort of thing, the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac. Is that... Maybe we've hit it. Oh, here we go. Okay, I'm waiting for it to build up to something. I hate it when you try and have music in the middle and it doesn't. Okie dokily dokily diddly daddly frang diddly dangly do. It's time for, I thought I'd make this more of a regular part of the Rubinerd show. Let's have a look over at Twitterific. Right, so these are the people I've subscribed to on Twitter. Let's have a look, see if anyone's saying anything interesting. 21st Century Citizen says, new article posted this morning, a simple step you can take. Free cycle. I remember people talking about this on Wikipedia. Not Wikipedia, I apologize. Whole Wheat Radio. I think Esther Galton was talking about this. URLT.com/1D8F. 1D for Denmark, 8F for Fennel. Step-by-step instructions for Free Cycle. I think Free Cycle was this website where you can... it's a bit like Craigslist. I think it's... I'm not sure what that... I think in the US it's some sort of eBay competition. I'm not sure. I've never used it. I don't think they have it outside there. But it's... I've heard it's something like that, where essentially you just post something to say, I've got this Rolling Stones CD that I don't want anymore. You know, Keith Richards is starting to freak me out. I don't want it anymore. And if you want it, let me know. Something like that. So it lets people share stuff. I guess if you can't really sell it, or if, you know, you couldn't be bothered going through all the crap of setting things up. So that's from 21st Century Citizen. They added me, not the other way around. I've been getting some interesting stuff. Here we go. Here we go. This is from a guy called Ruben Shade from the RubenErdShow.com. He's got a coffee cup in his mouth. And what a loser. Okay, he says m.twitter.com is a killer. It's going to cause me to be run over. Wonder if I could sue them if I did. What a wiener. That's terrible. And here's a response. This is Felix Tangiono from the US, one of my my best friend from high school, says, at Ruben, looking at m.twitter.com now. Very cool simplified version of Twitter, smiley face. Yeah, it's very good if you're on your mobile phone and you have no spare time at all. Do not go to m.twitter.com. You know, if you've got your phone in your hand right now, if you're listening to this show on a train or while you're delivering the mail or something awesome like that, if you've got a phone in your pocket, don't open it up. If you've got 3G or Edge or GPRS or anything like that, don't go to your phone and type in m.twitter.com. That's M for mobile, .twitter.com. Don't go there and post stuff because it is addictive and you'll spend way too much time on there. It's deceptively simple, that thing. Here we go, a little bit further down. God, nearly all of these are me. That's depressing. All of the latest Twitter posts. Hey, here's one. Andrew says, easy date for me to remember. It's my birthday. Well, there you go. Happy birthday, Andrew. And Frank Edward Nora decided to avoid the ticket agent in training window. Ooh. He doesn't want to use a guy in training. That's... I guess that's almost like going to a medical school hospital. You know, people have to learn these things, right? But you don't exactly want to be the guinea pig yourself, you know what I mean? A bit further. Well, why was he talking about ticket agent? Ticket agents. I read a reason why he was saying that. Here we go. Frank Edward Nora. I have to remember to buy a monthly bus pass today, so I have it on Tuesday morning when it is September. All right, because it's September tomorrow, isn't it? I think it's time for another page from Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac while we're doing this sort of stuff. Randomly flipping to any random page. Thursday, May 15th, 2003. Installing Linux, a true story. From Patrick Norton. Let's see here. Linux installation, 12-pack of Dr. Pepper, check. Pizza, check. Book to read while install files get copied, check. And, oh yeah, I've also got a copy of Red Hat Installs Disk, Sam's Teach Myself Linux, the man and how-to pages for my distro, and my properly prepared system. And the phone number of a Linux geek is always a plus, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. Penguin first time, kinda. Okay, so he's essentially setting up Linux. Toughest part usually is getting the graphical interface running. If you're lucky... Yeah, Linux is... This is 2003, right? Linux has come a long way since that. I mean, Ubuntu these days, it's the installer just does everything. And even FreeBSD, setting up a graphical environment in FreeBSD is so much easier now. I mean, the X window system detects your graphics card, refresh rates, everything now. It's beautiful. So this looks like a really involved sort of thing that Patrick has gone on here. Okay, installing Linux, a true story. That's... maybe if it from the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac. There are so many pages here where there are just nice little short quotes, and I keep bringing up these really long, drawn-out ones. That's terrible. Okay, close that up. So, I'll have one last look over at Twitterific, see if anyone's saying anything interesting. Dadaist, I can't dance to the music you're playing. Stop, think it over, and rewrite your tune. The last track from Bites by the Black Dog on Warp's Artificial Intelligence series. Warp's Artificial Intelligence, yeah, I've never heard of that before. Someone was saying something interesting. Come on, where is it? Here we go, Frank Benora. I have to remember to buy my monthly pass to... Oh, wait, we've already done that. Felix Tangiono again, just woke up, hate the feeling of initial dizziness when waking. Me too, that's terrible. Andrew the birthday boy says, need to look for a decent web space vendor, I need lots of storage and fast access, don't we all? We always need that. Anyway, so latest stuff coming on Twitterific and another thing from the Leo Laporte Technology Almanac. God damn it, I keep coming up when the music is just pulling up. Wow, I'm just reading the back of this Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. It says, Tech TV is the only 24-hour cable television network dedicating to showcasting the impact technology has on our everyday lives and the world at large. by creating and delivering entertaining and insightful programming. I should be using my radio voice. Regarding today's and tomorrow's technology news, events, products, and people, TechTV enables viewers to stay current and connected with all things related to technology. Check your local television listings for TechTV. And it has Leah Laporte's little blurb there. Let's read what they have to say about Leah Laporte. He says, tech voice.
Leah Laporte is the host of The Screensavers on TechTV. He has been a, excuse me, television.
I'm trying to be all radio-like and I had a testy pot. He has... there's a picture of him right now and on here. Leah Laporte, there's a picture of him right here. And it looks like he's laughing at me in response to that that little accident just then. He has been a television and radio personality for... Don't look at the picture, Ruben. He's laughing at you. He has been a television and radio personality for more than two decades, focusing exclusively on high-tech since 1991. He has won an Emmy Award in 1997 for his work as the virtual character developer Null, Dev Null, on MSNBC's The Site. Of course, not being in the US, I have no idea what that is.
Leo lives on a small farm in Northern California with his wife, Jennifer, and two children, two goats, two sheep, and two cats. The farm is equipped with high-speed wireless networking, but so far none of the animals have shown an interest. That's good. And he's laughing at me. So that, wow.
Maybe this thing is useless, and there's probably a whole stack of them somewhere that they weren't able to sell, and then 2003 went by, and then they couldn't sell at all, or something. Well, they've still got some good tips. Okay, so let's just randomly go to another page. Wednesday, February the 19th, 2003. Tip of the day. If Windows XP's offer to send information to the home office after every little crash is driving you crazy, disable error reporting. Makes sense. Open the system control panel, click the advanced tab, and click the error reporting button. Check your settings and click OK. And they've got a little poll here. Which do you think is better, cable or DSL? 59% said cable, 41% said DSL. And I can agree with that. We had DSL in Australia, we had DSL in Malaysia. Maybe if you're in a place that actually has decent internet, it might be different, but setting up DSL is a royal pain in the ass, and it goes down and up so often. With a cable, you just plug it in, it just works. But I guess you have to be in a place that has cable, right? That's one thing. And on the next page, they've got how do cable modems work. Okay, we won't get into that. So, Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. Alright, we should have some news report now, because we just got another Twitterific from Frank Edward Nor.
Frank Edward Nor, the bagel situation is okay.
Yeah. I was expecting something more. It said, new tweet from Frank Edward Nor. The bagel situation is okay. I never really understood bagels. I mean, I like them, but I don't think they're nothing hugely special. In fact, when I was a little kid, I used to think bagels just taste like stale bread. You know, they have they're not spongy enough like bread, but I guess now you put some cream cheese on it, they're all right. If there's nothing else, bagels. But I guess apparently New York is the capital in the world for bagels. Or where were bagels? They were from Germany originally, weren't they? Were they from Germany? Or is that just the German side of me telling me that they're from Germany originally? Maybe they've got something better, but the bagels here and the bagels in Australia are no good, and you can barely find them anywhere anyway. And in fact, the name of the bagel at the cold storage, the sort of the expat supermarket down on Orchard Road, the bagel section they have there actually says New York bagels. So maybe it's a New York thing I'm not getting. Leo Laporte's 2000... No, we've already done one of those. So let's skip ahead to... something else. I'll tell you what, and I was talking about this before. Where's the music? Whoa, that came up loud, just like my voice has. I'm not sure how this episode's going to turn out with this microphone. If I play it back and it's really dreadful, I might have to re-record it. I guess I should have tested this before doing a, how long is that, a 45-minute episode. Alright, so essentially, two big landmarks in I guess my Web 2.0 is. I really am a Web 2.0 whore. I can't imagine my life without Wikipedia and Twitter and Delicious and all of these sort of services. But I have reached a bit of a sort of a dubious landmark on Twitter. I have posted 666 items. Dun, 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 dun. Now, why did I do that? Why did I sing dun, 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 dun? What was that off? What was that cop show? That really old cop show where they went dun, 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 dun. What was the name of that show? Submitted for your entertainment. Oh, God, what was the name of Dragnet! Dun, 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 dun. Oh, I love that. And the following film you are about to see contains... Oh, no, is based on a true story of... There was... How did that go at the beginning? I've got the DVD of Dragnet. I'm going to have to play that. Dun, 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 dun. So I went from Web 2.0 to Dragnet. Now I know how Leo Laporte and all them do that on MacBook Weekly when they go into rat holes. I've 666 items in Delicious, so I'm about ready to be visited by the devil, or at the very least have horns grow out of the top of my head, or horns appear on Delicious. You notice that on a lot of Web 2.0 sites, they're a bit more relaxed about things like that. So you know when you log on to Flickr, and it says hello in a different language, and says, oh, you now know how to say hello in Swahili or something. Have you noticed that? So I'm at, why isn't Delicious telling me I'm evil now that I've got 666 posts? Or actually, what they should be saying is, Ruben, you need a life. You've posted 666 articles. What are my biggest tags on Twitter? Let's have a look at this. I've got my biggest tags are Adelaide, Anime, Apple, Asia Pacific, BitTorrent, Blog, Floss, free and open source software, Funny, Games, Graphics, Hardware, MacBook Pro, Microsoft, Movies, Music, New Time Radio, North America, OS X, Photography, Politics, Ruby, Retro, Windows, WordPress, X11, and Unix. Okay, they're the big ones. I like using the tag cloud thing instead of just a list, because that way it kind of compresses all the tags into a smaller space, so you don't look like as much of a loser that you've been spending all your time tagging things. If you have it as a list going down the page, it goes on for a lot longer. It makes you feel a lot worse about yourself. So that's part one, but possibly the one that's even more sad than that is my Twitter account. I've been posting so much stuff, and I'm surprised people are still following me. I'm sure it's very frustrating to turn your computer on and get 30 tweets from this loser in Singapore, right? But I've got 922 tweets, which means I'm not that far away from 1,000. And I started using this at the beginning of March of this year, and I've reached almost 1,000 tweets. This is really a bad, ominous sign of loserism, right? This is terrible. So I have 666 posts on Delicious and 922 posts. That's close to 1,000 posts on Twitter. That is insane. How many posts do other people have? Let's look at Dave. How many? Because Dave's pretty good on Twitter. Yeah, Dave's been going since August, and he has 457. All right, so. Okay, so maybe on a month-to-month basis he's posting more, but still, 400, that's still a reasonable number. You know, what's he doing now? Dave. Daughter has been invited for a day out at the zoo with her friends. Got to meet up at Burlingap to do some photography tonight. Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah, I've had my new Fujifilm S9600 for a couple of months now, and I really have not had much of a chance to use it. So, but that is a very nice segue into something else. I posted this on my vlog this afternoon. Apparently, well, what was that? Oh, error message, right. It beeps at me. Apparently, I tried to move over to Zoomer, right? I really did. If you don't know, Zoomer is essentially almost a clone of Flickr. So it's a website where you can upload photos. The things that they say that are different with Flickr are that, A, it's unlimited, so you can upload as much stuff, it's unlimited bandwidth. I'm sure it's not, but that's what they claim, right? So it's unlimited bandwidth, unlimited uploads, unlimited galleries, right? With Flickr, if you want more than 3 galleries and you want to upload a certain amount of stuff, you have to pay for it. So in this case, you don't. So it's a photo sharing. It's a photo sharing site. It's a photo sharing site. Right? Right? I've been maybe listening to too much Pet Shop Boys for my own good. West and Goods. They were really good in Singapore. I need to talk about that as well when they came, Pet Shop Boys in Singapore. There's just been so much stuff going on and I'm not getting through any of it. And a way that I might not be able to get through something is by reading another page from Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. Music, please. Thank you very much. Let's go flipping to a random page here. This is Sunday, the March... Sunday, the 9th... in America, you put month, day, year, but in most other places, you put day, month, year. So I have to sort of flip the numbers in my head. So this is the 9th of March, not... Okay, yeah, March, the 9th of March, right, here we go. So, secret Windows software that you already own. Ooh, okay. Wow, there you go. Okay, so these are secret Windows things you already own. I won't go into all of the details, but apparently, if you type in, if you go to your Windows, I don't have Windows on my computer, but if you do, if you go to your run box and type iExpress, iExpress.com, it says, have you ever wanted to make a customized self-extracting executable? iExpress Wizard will step you through the process and you'll have something ready for download. So, a self-extracting executable, which I hate because A, it's more of a chance of viruses getting to it, and B, if you're not on Windows, it's useless. So that's great. vintage Windows Media Player. If you're like me, you hate the new Windows Media Player. I remember that. Yeah, the new Windows Media Player sucked. It's skinnable, but it also sucks. Did you know the old one is still there? Yep, it's now called mplayer2.exe. So I can type that. And WinChat. If you type in winchat.exe, instant messaging is fun, but what if you don't want to install any of that kind of software on your machine? And this way you can chat to people on your local network, right? So I guess some random things that you might not have known about on your Windows machine. Anyway, yes, yeah, so Leo Laporte, 2003 Technology Almanac. I love the picture on the front of this. It looks like he's got some sort of, liquid nitrogen or something. He's trying to cool a computer and he's got this really deranged look on his face. That's great. I love that picture. Okay, now I started talking about something and then I had a sort of an interjection with Leo Laporte. The Zoomer, right. I started using Zoomer a couple of months ago. And it was great initially, but the reliability has just been terrible. I'm not. Maybe it's just me in my part of the world, and they do maintenance when it's nighttime in the US, which means it's daytime over here. But it's been no good. I'm pretty much considering going back to Flickr, right? So I hadn't used my Flickr account in a while, but I logged onto my Flickr account just today, and I got an email from someone from Schmap. Guides, SCH map guides, Schmap guides. Is that SCH? Schmap guides. My last name is SCHADE. That was Shade Schmap guides. From Luke Ritchie, and he said, "Hi Ruben, I am writing to let you know that three of your photos with a Creative Commons license have been shortlisted for inclusion in the third edition of our Schmap. How do you say that? Schmap." Adelaide Guide to be published in early September 2007. Best regards, Luke Ritchie, Managing Editor of Schmap. Editing Manager of Schmap. How do you say that? How do you say Schmap? S-C-H-M-A-P. Schmape. Schmap. Smap? Schmap. Schmap. How do you say this? Schmap. I found a website a while ago. You could type in words that you were too embarrassed to ask people how to pronounce, and it would pronounce it for you. Schmap. I'm not sure whether they'd be able to... Schmap. S-C-H-M-O-P. How do you say that? Schmap. Anyway, yeah, so I wrote... And this is on my blog, you can take it. But apparently they saw two of the photos I took at a railway museum in Adelaide and another one at Mount Lofty, right? And I've got the screenshot of the three. They were taken on a really... This is back before I had any sort of decent prosumer camera, I should say. And I just had my... It was a small little... I think it was a DMC-33 Panasonic, right? So it's a 3-megapixel camera with a really dodgy zoom, right? So I barely ever used the zoom. But, I guess if you take 1,000 photos, one or two of them turn out half decent, right? So the fact that I was even nominated on photos I took with a 2003 vintage camera is pretty good. So that was a nice little addition. I've got the photo there. And in fact, I do agree a bit. That photo they've highlighted of the Adelaide Hills there, I think is one of the only pictures I took on that whole Flickr site that is half decent. I've shuddered to show people that my Flickr website, because I'm so embarrassed. There's so many dreadful photos on there. This is back before I knew, you know, dividing the picture up into thirds to sort of get perspective right, and color filtering, and CMYZ, and all those sort of, and RGB, and all the graphs and things to balance in color, and I didn't know about any of that, so if I thought something looked good, I just snapped a picture. So, but that one isn't too bad. I think I used that as my desktop background for a while. That was, well, the picture on there, if you go to my blog, if you've got a computer now, it was at the top of Mount Lofty, which is a sort of hill. I guess by Singapore standards, it's this gigantic mountain, right? Because the highest point in Singapore is Bukit Timah Hill, which I think is 2.5 centimeters above sea level. I could be wrong, right? But this was it's up from Adelaide. And you can see, it's beautiful view, right? You've got all the gum trees and the sort of Australian bush all around you, really thick sort of bush. And you look down, and it's the Adelaide CBD. It's a gorgeous place, and they've got a sort of very trendy sort of coffee shop there that turns into a bit of a bar at night, sort of thing. Very classy. That was very nice. So there's a picture of me. I've taken a picture outside. You can see the tables and the trees, and that was only in two. I think that was 2005. I took those pictures. That seems like such a long time ago. Anyways, I think it's good at this point to, I haven't read anything from this book. Apparently it's the Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac. Let's just randomly flip a page open and see here. Friday, October the 3rd, 2003. Friday, 3rd of October, 2003. Right, and it says that tip of the day, rumor has it that the QWERTY keyboard layer we all know and love was designed intentionally to be inefficient. To keep typists from jamming early typewriters. Type faster with the Dvorak keyboard layout. And it has I guess you can figure out how to do that yourself. I don't need to. These instructions are long. Okay, so it's talking about the Dvorak keyboard layout. The John C. Dvorak /blog. the Dvorak.org/blog keyboard layout. And then on the next page is a picture of a turkey. What is it in the US you have with turkey? Thanksgiving, I think, yeah. I've never had a Thanksgiving before, man, with turkey or whatever. But, okay, so Dvorak keyboard layer. Windows 98. Okay, Windows XP. It's funny, they've got instructions for 95, 98 and me, but nothing on 2000 in this whole book, as far as I can tell. That's strange. I guess at that point they thought I guess XP and 2000 basically are the same anyway, right? Terrible. Confused by the old keycaps, print a page with the Dvorak keyboard layout on it, or buy keycap stickers. On top, I use those ones. They're a bit nasty, aren't they? Downloads of the day, Dvorak-style keyboards. All right, so yeah, using Dvorak keyboards to save your wrist, make it type faster. I actually found out a little quick tip. Whoa! One thing not to do when you have a very highly sought-after but collectible book here with a 2003 Leo Laporte technology calendar in the back of it that you rip off, and it hasn't been ripped off yet. Those are some funny pictures. With those sort of things, don't drop the book on the floor, because it's a collector's item, right? One of the things I learned about the QWERTY keyboard layout, and I think it might have been on Wikipedia, it could have been, I don't know, it's just one of these random facts, excuse me, that you pick up, was that the reason why you can write the word typewriter, if you look at a QWERTY keyboard, typewriter is the longest word, apparently, maybe in another language there's a longer one, that you can write on the top row of a keyboard, and the reason why is so that people in showrooms trying to sell these typewriters to let you know how fast you can type as opposed to writing or using older machines was he or she would be able to slam quickly the word typewriter and they wouldn't have to try and fumble or try and figure out where the letters are because they're all on the top row, right? So it was actually a showmanship demo type of thing. So that was the first thing. And the second thing was, if you look down in the middle row, is actually the remnants of the original alphabet. So instead, so A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I'd never noticed this before. So obviously they'd swapped some of the letters around, but it goes A, S, D, F, G, H, J, K, L. So they, aside from missing a few letters, that's the first bit of the alphabet right there. So two things I didn't know about. And thanks to Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. And having random photos posted on a SCHMAP, I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it SCHMAP? S-C-H-M-A-P? Creative Commons travel site. Yeah, the fact that they even acknowledge that one of the photos from a crappy camera like that is good. That's awesome. It's good stuff. Anyway, I get the feeling we've been going now for almost an hour. I think it's about time to wrap this show up in a few minutes. So maybe we'll just read one more of the Leah Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. Randomly flip to a page. Saturday, November the 1st. Tip of the day. Buy what you need and benefit the needy at these charitable auction sites. I guess if you're in the US, you'd be able to do this. Goodwill at shop, S-H-O-P, goodwill.com. Missionfish.com, could be. Webcharity.com, I wouldn't have guessed that. And Yahoo Charity Auctions. This is a long one. auctions.yahoo.com/PHTML/AUC/US/charity/charity.html. Probably then followed by question mark query equals something or other, random stuff. And here we go. This is the poll from that day. Would you use a single use credit card? 66% of people said yes. 34% of people said no. So 100% of people answered the questionnaire. There you go. Was that a Monty Python routine where they were just talking about random statistics and they said 78% of people said this, how many percent of people said this, and how many percent of people said that? That equals 100, so therefore 100% of people answered the questionnaire. Right, so there you go. We've got a new tweet on Twitterific. Manny the Mailman heading out to Monmouth Park. Monmouth Park? Monmouth Park? Not your racetrack to wager on some horses. That's no good. That's no good. I'm the kind of person who I think if I got into gambling, I would get into it really deep and wouldn't be able to get out. So I'm just not even going there, right? I just couldn't bring myself to do that. Maybe if you have more self-control and can actually pick out good horses, you'd be able to do that. Anyway, so this has been the Leah Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac Random Crap that I didn't do in previous episode. And again, I didn't get through anywhere near the kind of stuff. I was saving up all the really interesting stuff till last, but now that it's been going for an hour, I think maybe I should hold off until the next episode. Maybe I'll be able to do another one in a bit shorter amount of time. I was going to review actually these things, these wasabi cashew fusion cashews, that wasabi cashews, and then I just inhaled a whole pile of it. those even smell strong. Okay, maybe I should just seal those up. That's for another episode. So, for Saturday, the 31st of August, 2007, Rubinerd Show 227. You can get the Rubinerd Show at rubinerdshow.com, funnily enough. RUBENSCHADE at gmail.com for comments or suggestions, or you can go to the Rubinerd Show forum at rubinerdshow.com/forum to post any stuff. There are some very intelligent people out there. People are a lot more intelligent than I am. Obviously my sister as well. Does she post? I think she posted on the old one. Manny the Mailman says, happy birthday to Andrew, as do I. And Frank Edward Nora says, this world of ours is messed up. No wonder we're all walking around in a daze. We don't want to think about it. And he's got a little tiny URL there. Okay, let's see what Frank Edward Nora is on about before we go. This world of ours is messed up and a link. No wonder we're all walking around in a daze. Okay, let's see. What's he got here? I hate... One of the problems with tiny URLs, you can't tell until afterwards what the, what's going on. Larry Craig pervert scandal is tip of the iceberg. Sex scandals. Oh, dear. Okay, and then it talks about Mark Foley and FBI and all this stuff. That's terrible. Okay, prisonplanet.com. All right, maybe you don't want to go there after all. But anyway, yes, so Frank Abinora thinks the world's screwed up. Happy birthday to Andrew, of course, and good luck to Manny the Mailman in his betting, gambling, horses and whatnot that I obviously would be terrible at and not even going to try. Going out to dinner tonight, Roel in the Netherlands. Beautiful weather over here. 75 degrees. 75 degrees, that's cool, almost enough to boil water. And what's Dadaist up to? What's the last post that Dadaist has put here? Oh yes, playing the last track from Bites from the Black Dog on Warp's Artificial Intelligence series. Do we have one more? Do we have enough time for one more Leo Laporte 2003 Technology Almanac quote? I think we've got enough time for one more Leo Laporte's 2003 Technology Almanac. Let me just flip through. I'm not going to flip to random pages. Let's just randomly flip through and see if there's anything short here that we can talk about. Anything here? These are all of these are really long things. Oh, here we go. Here's something that might be interesting. Tip of the day for May the 17th, 2003. If you happen to forget your Linux root password, you're going to have to change it. I would have thought so. Start your computer at the LILO prompt, the Linux loader prompt. I guess that wouldn't work if you're using Grub now. Everyone's using Grub in 2007, right? Type Linux single. Your machine will now start in single user mode. Type password and enter the password you want for your root user. And then type reboot. So I guess it'd be, because the PASSWD is available in FreeBSD as well. Maybe I might be able to use that too. Because one of my, I think my little VIO laptop, my really old creaky one, I set up and I used a different password and I can't for the life of me remember what it is. I thought I'd have to just reformat it. Maybe I'll give that a shot. PASSWD. This looks like fun. Which OS is more secure? Right, so they've got a list. They've got Windows 98, Windows 2000, Mac OS 9, BOS, DOS, FreeBSD, Amiga, Apple DOS, and Linux. And 43% of people said Linux, 8% said FreeBSD. Everyone knows FreeBSD is better than Linux. What the hell are they smoking? Windows 98 is on 5%. More people thought Windows 2000 is more secure than FreeBSD. Everyone knows FreeBSD is on more. That's terrible. I would have easily said FreeBSD is the most secure out of all of those, and then maybe put maybe BOS after that, then Linux, then Amiga, and then 2000 DOS, and then 98 at the bottom or something. But only 8% said FreeBSD. I guess a lot of people just don't know what that is. Maybe, I don't know. Larry Craig is a pervert. Happy birthday to Andrew, good luck on Money Man with the race course, and you yourself have a fantastic day. Hope to see you again the next time I see you again, although seeing as this is an audio podcast, you don't see me, you hear me. Hope to hear you again or talk to you again when I talk to you again. You have a good one. Clear out my wallet more often. There are so many receipts for Starbucks. This is embarrassing. Banana wall loaf, Americano. $50.20. Oh, that's the cash, right? I thought I'd paid $50 for a coffee. I wouldn't put it past me, though. But that was today, August 31st, 7:23 p.m. August 28th, 6:05 p.m. Caramel macchiato, 6:40. Vivo City Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, Sumatra Bold, $2.40, 30th of the 8th, oh that was when I dropped my sister off, alright. One day I walked up the stair and saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he would stay away. He would stay away. He'd stay way up the stair. there, up the there, wasn't there again today. Wish you would stay away. Stay away, I wish you would just stay away. I walked upstairs and saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he would stay away. Okay, I screwed that up, didn't I? One day I walked up the stair and saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he would stay away. One day as I walked up the stair and saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Way away. He wish he would try again. One more time. One day I walked up the stair and I saw a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he would stay away. Stay away. Stay away. Wish he would stay away. Away. Stay away.